Get your own faith, I was told to preach on. Get your own faith. Amen. You know the story. Abraham has taken Isaac, his son. They're going up Mount Moriah. You're getting ready to sacrifice. Abraham already knows that he's going to put his son on the altar and offer him up as a sacrifice. Well, Isaac doesn't know that. So they're going up, and Abraham tells the servants to stay there, and the lad and I are going to worship. Look in verse 5, it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." So here's Isaac, the promised son, the son of faith, Abraham's faith, and Abraham's taking him up to the top of the mountain to sacrifice him on the altar. And Isaac wonders, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? That's a good question. And the reply is, God will provide himself a lamb. And I wanted you to look at the one phrase is what I wanted to pull out. In verse 6, it says, "And they went both of them together." And then back in verse 8, it says, "So they went both of them together." As he got a little bit more information, he still had faith in his father. Because in the next verse, he lays himself down on the altar and becomes a sacrifice because he trusted in his father. His faith was in his daddy. And you can live your life trusting your father's faith. And you can live your life trusting your friend's faith or your pastor's faith. But at some point, you've got to trust God for yourself. Amen. You've got to get your own faith. You've got to believe God for yourself in your life. You got to make a choice that you're going to decide to believe God and believe His Word and then live your life according to that. That's what get your own faith means, is to launch out in your Christian life in complete trust of God. You know, we're really not there, are we? There's a lot of times we'd like to take control. We are men. We like to get our hands dirty. We want to take control of things and handle it on our own. And sometimes we forget that God already has a plan for this. We just need to step back and trust Him. See, Isaac held to his father's faith. He believed in daddy. There's nothing the matter with that, young man. Believe in your father. Believe in daddy. But slowly he learned to believe like his daddy. Now, he never came to Abraham's faith, but he did have faith in a couple areas of his life, and I'm going to look at that. But you know, my dad, probably like many in here, I thought I was the first generation Christian. I found out my mother was saved later, but my father had no faith. He was a lost man. He taught me how to live in the inner city. He taught me how to be a good boy and take care of this and do that, what you do, and how to live your life, but he had no faith. He was lost, and he drank too much, and you know the story. So I couldn't get my faith from my father. The only thing I remember about my dad, believe it or not, and it sticks out, is when he brought me a baseball glove to my first Little League baseball game. And I was supposed to play third base, and he brought me an outfielder's glove. And I remember saying, "Well, this is an outfielder's glove, Dad." And you know, I could see that hurt him. I didn't realize he had stayed up all night oiling that glove and taking the ball and smacking it in there and getting a nice pocket in there. But I did use that glove for a long time. But I remember that because my dad, normally we wouldn't interact. But just to know that he had taken the time to oil that glove during the night, he tied up the ball in the pocket, then he spent hours throwing the ball into it, and here I am. Well, that's an outfielder's glove, Dad. That just struck me. That was my dad, right? And I look up to my father and I honor him today. Now my mother, I didn't know she was saved until I was 35 years old when I got saved. I didn't realize she got saved at 9 years old in a little Baptist church in North Carolina. I didn't realize that because her faith was quenched by my father, you see. So I really didn't know that till I got saved. I really didn't know that until my life was, you know, at the precipice, just ready to fall off. I was going the wrong way. There was a lot of drug abuse in my life, and And I was having a real hard time of it. And I don't know how far I was from really, really making some big problems in my life, even worse than they were. I guess what I'm saying is somebody came and started telling me the gospel. It was a Baptist preacher, finally came and interrupted my life and told me how to be saved. And that even though you were a great sinner, Dan, you have a great Savior, Jesus Christ. He can save you. And it started to sink in. But I remember one night before I got saved, I remember sitting there and I had nothing. I wasn't getting high or anything. I was just sitting there downstairs. And I heard my mother say, a call on the phone, you know, we had an answering machine. And when it clicked over to the answering machine, I could hear her say, Dan, why don't you go to church tomorrow? Dan, I know you're sitting there. Please go to church tomorrow. Dan, please, I know, why don't you pick up, talk to me? I just was so ashamed of myself. I was so ashamed of my life. I felt so alone and so guilty about what I'd been doing. But my mother had faith that if I could just get to church, if she could just get me to church, that's where the gospel's preached. And you know what? I got to church. Amen. And I started hearing that gospel. And I had crocodile tears coming down my eyes. And when that man said, gave an invitation, I would raise my hand. Now everybody's eyes closed. How did he know, you know? How did he know? He was preaching right at me all the time, Dad. And it was just about a month later that I got saved down in my family room all by myself. I got saved. But it's because of my mother's faith. Sometimes you feel like Timothy, you know, with his mother and his grandmother. So I guess what I'm saying is Isaac was living on his daddy's faith. Now, I can't believe he was more than 20 years old here, maybe. You may know better than me when he went up to Mount Moriah. But I learned early on through a lot of trials that how to trust God and that you can trust God. He'll never let you down. He's never once let me down. Every time I fully trusted in him, he's come through. And done it his way too. I mean, just being a missionary here in Ireland is faith. A lot of men said no, but God said go. So I had to think about what am I doing, and you know, because the Bible says that a multitude of counselors are safety. That's true, but that doesn't mean they're always right. It just means you should be circumspect and look around and check your calling and make sure if God's in this thing, people can be wrong, but God's never wrong. Just make sure you're on the right tune with God. So what the counselors did was make me take a good look. Am I supposed to be a missionary in Ireland? And that's why I'm standing here before you today. So look, Isaac lived 180 years, but little is really recorded about his personal faith in God. Turn to Genesis 26. Just turn over to 26. Look at verse 3. It says, sojourn in the land, in this land, God talking to Isaac, and I will be with thee and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Carrying a covenant on through Isaac, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws. See, Abraham was an amazing man of faith, and Isaac was blessed through Abraham's faith. And there's nothing the matter with blessing our children with our faith and showing them the faith that we have in God. We will look at some of those times when Isaac trusted God and when the Lord became Isaac's Lord. When he launched out in his own faith in God. Genesis 22 reveals Abraham's faith in God and Isaac's faith in his father. And that's okay. That's okay. But that will not do when daddy's not around. Sooner or later, you got to have your own faith. You got to have your own trust in God. You got to pull up your boots and say, look, I'm going to trust God and do what God's called me to do. So when a boy grows up, he's got to be able to stand up like a man because he's learned faith from his father. We need to trust God for ourselves. We need to trust God and not ourselves. You see, not the flesh. Have personal faith in God. Isaac learned to trust God and learned to put faith in God. And the Bible's going to show us a couple examples here. So when did Isaac show some faith in God? And you're in Genesis 26 and verse 6, it says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, And the men of that place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." Now look, this was not one of Isaac's best times. Neither was it Abraham, his father's best time. They both lied about their wives, so this wasn't really a great move of faith. But the reason I say it is because even though Isaac, I don't even think, was born when Abraham had his run-in with Abimelech, Isaac still must have seen something in Abraham over the course of the years to see that there may have been a flaw in Abraham's character, that when you have to lie, you just go ahead and lie. And Isaac did the same thing. And all I'm trying to say is, men, you need to be an example to your children. If you're up here, don't expect them to go any higher. They're going to be lower. They're not going to put the bar as high as you can, so your children have something to climb up to, something to shoot for. And show them your faith in God, because little eyes are watching, aren't they? Little ears are hearing what's going on as you live your life before them. They need to see your personal trust in God. In the home, you're like God to them. But now they see you trusting in God, and it's passed right through you. They can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have a trust in God. So let me give you a couple here, times when Isaac did show some faith. Genesis 25, just back across the page, in verse 20. Well, in verse 19, 25, 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder serve the younger." So the thing I wanted to look at is the fact that Isaac entreated the Lord, meaning that word means he earnestly sought God. In prayerful worship, he sought God on behalf of his wife. He was interceding. He wanted children. Some 20 years has passed since they married, and they don't have any children yet. And finally, Isaac entreats the Lord and prays for children and prays for his wife. I wonder how often do we do that? How often we really entreat and intercede for those in our household, for our wives, and pray for them? And this is what Isaac did. And he trusted that the Lord could do something. I really believe he showed some faith here. And so I believe, Lord, you can do something. We're trying to have children. It's been 20 years. And, if I just put my faith in you, if I trust you, I believe you can take a barren woman and bring forth children. God can change, faith can change the situation when you put your faith in God. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 5:20. This cross-reference helped me to understand this word entreated. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 20. I think it's Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh are having a battle here with the Hagarites. And in verse 19, 1 Chronicles 5:19, "And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jeter and Nephish and Nodab. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him." So there's something about this word entreat, to intercede for someone and to prayerfully come to God and believe that he can do something, that God was entreated of them. God felt that. God moved. And the same thing happened with Isaac. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. You see, God saw Isaac's faith, and God did something. And that kind of faith moves the hand of God when nothing else will. Now, Andrew Day is not here. He's not going to be here. If you know Andrew and Jennifer, waited quite a few years to have children, and they started praying. They probably entreated the Lord. And there was probably many other people praying. But what I'm saying is now they have twins, and that's why he's not here. You see? And, you know, the days entreated God, and finally, along the way, God kept moving and helping them and directing them, and now they have twins. Amen? That's entreating the Lord. God can do something. But that has to be your personal faith. You know, you say, I have faith. Do you really? Are you really ready to do what God tells you to do? Are you really ready to, if he tells you to do something, or if you're just completely counting on him, or do you feel like you have to stick your hand in it and change things for yourself? Because faith is really trusting God that he's going to do something. It's believing God. And especially when we read these things in the Word of God, God always honors his Word. God is faithful. So Isaac sought the Lord and he believed, and it moved God because faith moves the hand of God. What do you need to happen in your life that you truly have to trust God for? I'm looking around at some faces and people that I know. There's some big things for your future. You're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to believe him. And guess what? If you entreat the Lord, he'll be entreated of you. Now look at Genesis 26 and verse 18. The wells. Did you ever think that Abraham and Isaac were living parallel lives? The thing that happened with their wives and saying that it was their sister. And then the wells being dug. And so there's other things there with the Philistines. But it's like they're living parallel lives here. Genesis 26 and verse 18, it says here, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours, and he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Isaac puts his faith in God here and learns a valuable lesson. He also learns in verse 24 that God said, I am with thee. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be with you, just like I was with your father. But the Philistines were envious, you see, in verse 14. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds. This is Isaac. And a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Verse 15 says, for the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Because they envied all that Isaac had, you see. But Isaac named the wells Esek, which means to strive, which means to fight. Now I'm going somewhere with this. He named the next well Sitna, and it was named for hatred. It means hatred. And then Rehoboth was the last well, and that means room, space, peace. God responded to Isaac's faith, to trust him, and not to fight against the Philistines. Just move on, find another well, dig it out, and he kept the peace. Now Isaac trusted in God, and he became a peacemaker. It's not an easy thing to do all the time, to be at peace with all men. But Isaac was at peace because he trusted in God, that God was going to find a place for them. And then in Hebrews 12, 14, it says, follow peace with all men. That takes faith. The flesh will not get along with all men. And you know what? Sometimes you just don't get along with people, but you can still follow after peace. You don't have to be like the Philistines and hatred and envy and then anger and fighting. That doesn't have to be that way. The man of God, the man of faith, needs to be one who seeks peace. And the devil loves anger. The devil loves fighting. The devil loves hatred and envy. But God doesn't want that. And it's going to take faith in order to give, to do what God wants, and that's to live at peace with people. That takes faith. It takes not the flesh. You're going to have to be walking with God. You're going to have to put your faith in the Lord. And look, Isaac also learned to worship the God, worship God. In verse 25, it says, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. You know, when you build an altar, that means you're going to worship and you're going to sacrifice to God. I think that's where the Lord became his Lord. That was his God now. And he was learning how to have faith in this God that was his father's God, Abraham's God. So let me show you another one here in Genesis chapter 27. In verse 1 it says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to bless your firstborn. They have the birthright. They're supposed to get the blessing. Isaac wanted to do that. No great faith required here, but it became Isaac's greatest test of faith. And, you know, I tried to find some things in there that would help me, you see. Now, why did it become such a big test of faith? Because of the doubt that he encountered. Because of the unanswered questions that he had. And the timing of things. He didn't have understanding. He didn't have control of the situation. And it took great faith to just let God finally bless Jacob, who was the one to be blessed. And, you know the story of all the lies and all the deception that Isaac was dealing with. There was no faith on Rachel's part here. In fact, in verse 5, it says this, and Rebekah heard. That's all she had to do was hear what was going to go on. And she said, no, I got to take things into my hand and make sure that Jacob is the one that's blessed. The elder shall serve the younger. She didn't have to do that. God could have did that all on his own. He didn't need Rebecca to set up deception and lies with her son Jacob, who went along with it very easily. An elaborate plan is hatched that was never even needed. God can take care of things. He doesn't need our lies and deception. He doesn't need us to step in and take control. God can do it all on his own. The problem is we just don't want to wait. We just don't want to wait and trust him. You know, Isaac, he was 130 years old. Not much older than Eric, right? Wherever Eric is. But he couldn't see well. He was feeble. And he was probably easily fooled, you see. But somewhere along the way in this, Isaac exercised faith. I mean, that's how Jacob got blessed. That's how he got, he had stolen the birthright. God was going to make sure that Jacob was the one that was blessed. And he believed that God was in control. Somewhere along the line here, Isaac cast this thing into the lap of the Lord. And when Isaac doubted what was before him, he questioned. And we do that. We question the people, trying to get a straight answer. But sometimes we just need to question God. What we should do is just go to God and ask him, what do I do? What do I do here, Lord? The first thing I see is there's timing. The timing. When you need faith, when the timing doesn't seem right. You see in verse 20? In verse 20, I'm gonna leave all the lies and deception out. You know how all that went. We're down here in verse 20 of Genesis 27. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, meaning the venison, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Well, he's a liar and a deceiver, right? And what Isaac is doing is questioning. Do it so fast. He couldn't give him an answer except to lie to him. And you know, believe me, God is usually right on time. He's seldom early. He's never late, but he's usually right on time. But seldom is God early. So, what Isaac saw was, wow, I just asked for this, savory meat and here it comes in the door. You know, and for him, it was just too fast. How do things happen that fast? For us, it usually happens too slow, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we wonder, where are you, God? Why don't you do something? And days turn into months, and months into years. But turn over to Psalm 27. Keep your finger here. Look at Psalm 27 and in verse 14. You know why some scriptures are very familiar to us? Because we go to them all the time. Because they have such depth in them, you know. The whole Bible does, but certain scriptures just kind of stick out at you. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27, 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, when you don't wait on the Lord, it's probably because your heart, you're having a problem in your heart, and fear begins to build up, and you want things to happen in your time. And the idea is, God says, have some courage. Strengthen your heart. Wait on me. You've asked. You're following down the course of the road I've given you to travel. Just stay on it. Just wait on me. Because sometimes we also have limited understanding. We don't know what God is going to do. We don't understand the end. We just see this far in front of our face. So for Isaac, it was things happen too fast. For us, it's things happen too slow. And we both have to learn, both of us and Isaac, have to learn to just have faith in God and trust him even when the timing doesn't seem right. Now look at the next thing in verse 22. I'll read verse 21. And Isaac said unto Joseph of Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And verse 22 says, and Jacob went near unto his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So what Isaac heard and what Isaac felt were different. There was conflict there. They were contrary one to another. And he couldn't perceive, it says, and he discerned him not. He couldn't understand. In verse 23, it says he couldn't discern who this was. That's Jacob's voice, but it feels like Esau. Conflict. Many times in our life, we run into conflict in different situations. Things that just don't make sense. It didn't make sense to Isaac, but he just kept trusting the Lord. I really believe that this is along the line. Isaac is just going to trust God that he's doing the right thing. I'm going to put the blessing on the person that is in front of me. Now we know Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Say it with me if you want. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Maybe Isaac was thinking about that. I don't know. But for us, when we can't understand what's going on, there's a conflict there. There's a contradictions. Things aren't making sense. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and don't lean unto your own understanding. I know we've all dealt with this at one time or another. We've leaned on our own understanding. And you know what that does? Because our own understanding is so limited, we find ourselves not walking with God. We find ourselves in turmoil, and now our heart starts to fear, and we lose strength and weaken our faith. Hey, look, when there's conflict, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and keep on the path and follow him. And because those verses are, that verse there is very familiar because it is loaded. It is loaded with wisdom that we need to have in our lives. So timing sometimes can cause us to have weak faith, but we need to have faith when the timing's not right, when there's conflict in different situations. And then finally in verse 24, well, verse 23 says, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? A direct question. And he said, I am. Just lied, right? Lied right to his face. And, you know, when you ask direct questions of God, he never lies to you, amen? He always tells you the truth. Now, you may not like it, but it's the truth anyway. And it'll be a help to you. So, but he wanted some assurance. Can you imagine with Esau standing in front of him and Isaac kind of just feeling and smelling and listening to the voice, 130 years old, barely getting by here. Can you imagine if he looked straight at Jacob and said, if Isaac looked up to heaven and said, God, who is it to stand before me? I wonder what would have happened to Jacob. I wonder if he would have just melted there. God, who is this? But he didn't do that. But I can imagine what would have happened, you know. Is this Esau or is this Jacob? Well, I bet you Jacob would have had a turn then. But you know what? Turn to James chapter 1. Turn to James chapter 1. You don't have to worry about getting lied to. We just need to go to the Lord. God won't lie to you. People may lie to you. It'd be better to ask God. James chapter 1. And in verse 5. You know the verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will give you all the wisdom that you need. He's not going to make you feel bad for asking. In fact, every day we should be saying, Lord, what do I need today? What path should I go today? What should I do with my children today? How can I serve you today? Get wisdom from God on what to do, how to do it, where to go, what choices to make. God's not going to say, hey, I can't take all these questions right now. You know, you're overloading me. God's not like that. Bring it on. He wants us to come to Him because He's our Father. Fathers don't turn away a son who earnestly wants to walk with them and do the right thing. You know, when Isaac couldn't understand what should have been clear to him, he trusted God. And when the circumstances seemed contradicting and there was conflict, he trusted God. Hebrews 11:20. Look, you don't have to turn there. You say, how can you say that Isaac had faith? It just seems like he just blessed who was in front of him and didn't really have any idea what was going on. And Isaac exercised faith. Yeah. And the reason we know that is because the Bible tells us that. Hebrews 11:20 says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's all I need. Yeah. That's all I need to know, that somewhere in all of this conflict and timing and all the things that were going on, the things that didn't make sense, and he was looking for assurance, it's because he was blessing the one before him by faith. Somewhere along the line, he just cast it into the lap of the Lord and said, God, I'm just going to trust you with this. I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. Did Isaac know that what Rebekah knew of the prophecy? I don't think so. Isaac ultimately trusted God. I think this is one of his finer moments of faith. Isaac got his own faith. Go to Genesis 27. We're in Genesis 27. Look at verse 30. Verse 30 says, and it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. You know, Isaac was living by faith there. I really believe he was living by faith, but all of a sudden it came very clear what had just taken place. And Isaac kind of lost it for a minute. You know what that was? That was the will of God being done. Yeah. That was the will of God. And it was a shock for Esau. The cold, hard truth now came through. I bet he was glad that he had faith in God when facts came out. So how does this affect you? I think boys should look to their father as their father trusts God. And a young man should have some heroes in his life. And that biggest hero should be his father. And as far as I'm concerned, that means fathers, you need to be a hero to your son. You need to be walking with God. Those boys will love looking up to a father who's walking with God. Be a man of faith. Go to Proverbs 23. Our last scripture here. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. I guess this would be Solomon talking to Rehoboam. Can you see yourself sitting across the kitchen table? Son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's being a man of faith. That's being a hero to your kids. That's saying, I'm not just walking with God for me, I'm walking with God for them. They need to see a dad who loves them and walks with God and show them the way. One way to win a boy's heart is for them to watch your faith in action. You, fathers and sons, personally need to be able to trust God. It's part of spiritual maturity. It's not what you see. Isaac found that out. What you feel, what you hear, or what you smell. It's not feelings nor the flesh. Or even what others say. Sometimes it's in direct contradiction of what you see. You have to trust God and trust His Word. And I guarantee you, you're still going to come into situations where you say, I just can't. God says this, but God will not let you down. Amen. He's never let anyone down. If He tells you, if you've got a verse you're clinging to, then cling to it. God won't let you down. Your faith isn't so big that God's going, I can't do that. He can do anything. Jeremiah, I'm getting ahead of myself, but 32:27 says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there's nothing too hard for God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, For we walk by faith and not by sight. Men have your own faith and then live by your own faith. What do we have to do? Obey. It's another four-letter word, isn't it? Obey. It's bad sometimes that we have to obey. But obedience is the very action of faith. If you trust God, you're going to respond to it. You're going to obey His Word. Just obey and your faith will grow. Sometimes if you don't know what to do, just obey. Just do what God tells us to do. Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of faith, is men and women obeying God and acting on their faith. That's why they're there. They just acted on their faith. Works are the life of faith. You can say you have faith. We know what James chapter 2 says. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm saved. I'm a saved man, you see. So works are the reality of a living faith. Why not just do the will of God and learn what Isaac learned? Is that God can be trusted. Many times lazy. And they're also of their pet sin. That one that you've tucked away in your heart, nobody knows about it but you. Maybe you haven't been caught yet, at least down here. God's already caught you. You see, He already knows about that little sin, that every time the pastor starts talking about it, you wonder how He knows. How did He look into your heart? That's because we all sometimes have little pet sins that need to be given over to God. Others are distracted by social media. The lust of their own flesh. Some are just fearful. Why? Because you lack your own faith in God. You're not a man of faith, but you can be. You can start anytime. Start trusting God. At any moment, you can turn from the way that you're going and start trusting God. You know, there's two types of people here. There's people who are saved, and there's people who are unsaved. The people who are saved have received Christ by faith. They've trusted in Jesus Christ. Have you? Have you been saved? I know you're in a men's camp, but are you saved? When did you receive Christ as your personal Savior? Nothing else, not a baptism, not church, not all the other stuff, good works, just Jesus. When did that happen? And there's two types of Christians here, those who walk by faith and those who are not walking by faith. You have to ask yourself. Isaac grew up on Abraham's faith to a few failures of his own, but he entreated the Lord for a barren wife. What happened? He became a peacemaker with those wells, and even to the place where he blessed his sons against strong doubts and a lot of fears. But the Bible says, by faith he blessed them. You're not the first person to fully trust God, and you will not weaken Him by strong faith. He loves to answer big prayers. You don't have to be the think you have the most impossible situation. I gave you the verse, Jeremiah 32:27. God is able to take care of things. Pass along your faith to your boys. Make sure they know how much you're trusting God. But Dad, you got those big muscles and you can run and all that. I trust God. That's where my strength is, son. It's in my God. Pass that along to your boys. Let them see that you trust God. Tell them who is able. And then show them by the life that you live. Men, look, God wants you to completely and utterly trust Him. So grow up and get your own faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Put your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm just going to ask one question. Is there anyone here that's just not sure they're saved? I know you're here at a men's camp and you could probably leave lost, but I wonder, are you sure you're saved? If there's someone that's just not sure, I've never really heard the gospel clearly. I've never received Christ as my personal Savior by faith. Please, everybody, heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you just look up at me? You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Could you just look up at me right now if you're not sure that you're saved? Amen. Amen. All right. All right, two people. Christian, are you walking by faith? Are you trusting God for some big things? Because God can handle it. You need to get your own faith. Heavenly Father, I pray that two men that looked up, that we could deal with them later and talk with them. Father, I just want to commend them to you, that they would have the courage to look up and know that they don't know that they're saved. So, Father, I just pray that you'd give us an opportunity to speak to them about Jesus Christ and how they can know for sure that someday they'll go to heaven. It's all by faith. Trust in you. Father, thank you for our time. We cast this all into your lap and pray that we love you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.